In this episode, I'll review one of my Appalachian Trail section hices in Virginia, Catawba to Daleville. While it's likely already known by most of the podcast listeners, the Appalachian Trail is the best known long distance hiking trail in the world. It stretches from Georgia to Maine, passing through a total of 14 states in the eastern U.S., and stretches 2,193 miles in length. It is the longest hiking-only trail in the world. The trail was planned as early as 1921 and was originally completed in 1937, and it's a unit of the National Park System. The first person who thru-hiked the AT was Earl Schaefer, who did so in 1948. Each year, about 3,000 people attempt to thru-hike the trail, with about three-quarters of them throwing in the towel somewhere along the way. The caretaker organization of the trail, the Appalachian Trail Conservancy, was founded in 1925. They do a great job of maintaining the trail through an enormous group of volunteers and local chapters. A link to their website can be found in the podcast description notes. There are many access points on the trail, so the trail has a steady stream of day hikers, section hikers, and through hikers. Over 3 million people hike some part of the trail each year. The elevation changes on many sections of the trail can be quite significant, and it can be very strenuous for non-hikers or people who aren't in good physical condition. This podcast covers a two-day section hike that I completed during a hot Independence Day holiday. The section, as I mentioned, is known as Catawba to Daleville. It's about 20 and a half miles in length and is located in Virginia, not too far from the city of Roanoke and quite close to Interstate 81. We started our journey by being dropped off by our driver at the parking lot located across Highway 311 from the Catawba Appalachian Trail northbound trailhead. The parking lot was absolutely full, and cars were also parked all along the roadside. Many people were taking advantage of the holiday by taking a day hike on the AT in both the northbound and southbound directions. It was mid-morning, and it was already getting hot. It had been hot for several weeks, and there was minimal rainfall, so I was a little concerned about how difficult it would be to get water on the trail. My hiking companion for this hike was Badger. It was mid-morning on the 4th of July. We headed north on the trail and immediately found the trail to be very congested with day hikers going in both directions. One of the most iconic views on the AT, McAfee Knob, was in this direction, so we assumed many of the hikers were headed to or coming from there. The trail conditions in this section are reasonable but not easy, with a fairly steady upward slope and large stones the size of baseballs covering some parts of the trail, so you did have to be careful with your foot placement. As we hiked along, we did see some day hikers taking rest breaks only a short distance from the trailhead. Not a good sign. Further up the trail, we passed the John Spring Shelter, but didn't take the time to check it out as we had many miles ahead of us and had gotten started later in the day than we had planned. Along the way, we were greeted by a nice older lady who turned out to be a local trail volunteer. She was warning hikers that due to the recent drought conditions, there were limited sources of water along the trail from there to the trailhead at Daleville. She mentioned a couple locations where we could find water. She also had a bag of bottles of water for desperate hikers, but we declined as we had enough water to get to one of the water sources she mentioned. Further up the trail, maybe a mile or so, we passed the Catawba Mountain Shelter, but didn't stop to check it out. Generally, the shelters that I've encountered on the trail in Virginia are similar to one another, and I'll cover that a little later in the podcast. We arrived at the short side trail that went to McAfee Knob and took that trail to the Vista, where we took a break and looked at the impressive views. It was a very clear day, so we could see an incredibly long distance from an elevation of 3,197 feet. If you've never been to McAfee Knob, I highly recommend taking a hike there to see the impressive views. It's about 4 miles from the trailhead. It was very crowded on the knob. As I suspected, many of the day hikers were on the trail specifically to see the view and take photos from there. I'll post some of my photos on my Instagram account. Then we left and continued our journey north. The traffic on the trail declined substantially after we left McAfee Knob. We encountered a couple of other backpackers taking a cigarette break on the trail, and I thought this to be a little odd at the time. I would get to know them better as our paths would cross again a couple more times along the trail. We encountered impressively large boulders in the next section of the trail, through which the trail passed for quite some time. We also passed the Campbell Shelter in this area. There are quite a few shelters fairly close together on this section of the AT, which is an indication that this section gets more through hiker and section hiker traffic than maybe other parts of the trail. Then we came upon an interesting group of people. They appeared to be a group traveling together. Some had backpacks with them, and some were sitting in folding chairs. You know, the kind you would use at an outdoor concert or to watch a kid's soccer game. Many of them didn't look to be hikers by their clothing and their shoes. Some of the group looked very out of place deep in the mountains on the AT, many miles from the nearest trailhead. Several miles from McAfee Knob, the trail then took us to another impressive view, Tinker Cliffs, which is at an elevation of 3,000 feet and also has an incredible view. The cliffs are quite narrow, so you do have to be careful with your footing. Virginia hikers refer to the Triple Crown of must-do peaks while hiking the AT in that area. They are Tinker Cliffs, McAfee Knob, and Dragon's Tooth. We did two of them in one day. Not bad. We took a fairly lengthy break here. After leaving Tinker Cliffs, we passed the smokers again, who were taking another smoking break. It had been a long, strenuous hike because of the heat of the day, and I was really looking forward to ending my day at the Lambert Meadow shelter where we planned to camp. It was only about a mile further on the trail, pretty much straight downhill. The incline was very steep in many locations. As we arrived at the Lambert Meadow shelter, both of us took a long break before we got situated. I'd been planning to camp in my tent that evening, but the shelter was empty, so I set up my pad and sleeping bag in the shelter. Badger set up a hammock to sleep in. At that point, there were very few people at the campsite. We had run out of water just before we arrived, so I went downhill to an extremely small stream adjacent to the shelter and the campsite. The lack of rain had reduced the flow of the stream to a trickle, but I was able to put my hand pump type MSR water filter in the stream and pump for what seemed to be an eternity, but was able to refill our water bottles. The shelter was large, with three walls and a roof, with the front being entirely open. It was in extremely good shape, and the campsite had a pit toilet, a bear box, and a picnic table, and a very large area to set up tents. This is typical of what I've seen in other shelters on the AT in this area, though some of them don't have the bear boxes. The logbook in the shelter indicated that hikers had seen bears at the campsite the previous day, so I was definitely planning to use the bear box. The smokers then arrived at the camp, dropped their bags near the shelter, and had another smoke. I had a nice conversation with them and got to know them. They were through hikers who met on the trail shortly north of Georgia and became a couple. They weren't making very good progress in their through hike because they took a series of very long breaks along the way. I suspect that they didn't complete their through hike, but I certainly hope they were successful. They continued to smoke what they told me was flavored tobacco throughout the evening, but hey, I wasn't born yesterday. Many hikers trickled in as it was getting darker. The sun sets very early at the shelter, because it's surrounded by mountain peaks. Just before it became dark, the larger group with the folding chairs arrived. As I had an opportunity to observe the group in more detail, I concluded that several people in the group were likely slack packers carrying only the folding chairs, with the others carrying all the gear like Sherpas. If you don't know what a slack packer is, you might want to Google the term, as they've created quite a controversy in the backpacking community. Badger and I ate a hearty dinner of Mountain House meals and crunchy granola bars and went to sleep early. We hiked 11 miles on day one. We got an early start on day two, rising shortly after sunrise. It had gotten pretty cool that night, more so for Badger in the hammock than me in the shelter. As I'd learned years earlier, it can get chilly in the Appalachian Mountains at night, even during the heat of summer. We ate a hearty breakfast that included more Mountain House, more crunchy granola bars, trail mix, and a couple cups of Starbucks instant coffee, which is extremely important to me. I went back to the trickle of a stream and used the hand pump filter to top off our water bottles for the day. We packed up, being one of the first to leave that morning. We wanted to try to complete the remaining 9.5 miles before it got too hot. As we headed north, we passed Lambert Meadow campsite, which is very near the Lambert Meadow shelter. There were a few tents there, but many more people had pitched their tents in the area near the shelter. Generally, the trail was uphill for quite a few miles, though it wasn't horribly challenging. A couple of miles north in the trail, a trail runner came flying by in the opposite direction. Assuming he'd been running at that pace from the trailhead at Daleville, he must have been in incredible condition, as we were about 7 miles from the trailhead. We continued a generally uphill journey, and the trail got quite rocky again, so we had to be careful with our footing. We had a brief conversation with a southbound hiker in this area. There was very little trail traffic on day two. In that area, we started getting a view of Carvin's Cove Reservoir and continued to have this view all along the trail for quite a while. As we neared the top of the final peak at about mile 6, we passed near large power lines. The views along this part of the trail were also very good, but part of the view included Interstate 81. From there, the trail was steeply downhill for a mile or so, but then leveled out. After the trail started to level out, we passed very near a deer that seemed to have no fear of us. This isn't the way that deer typically behave in wilderness areas. As we got closer, I could see that this poor deer was covered with hundreds of ticks. As we continued on the trail, it became very flat and quite easy. As we approached Daleville, we could start hearing road noise and knew that we were getting near the end of our journey. We reached the Daleville trailhead, which is on Highway 220 near Interstate I-81. Neither the smokers or the slack packers caught up to us on day two. We were hot and thirsty and realized that there was a convenience store about 50 yards down the road. We dropped our backpacks there and gorged ourselves on ice cream and soda. We called our ride, who picked us up in short order. There is a commuter parking lot nearby, which I think could be used by hikers, but you might want to research that before using it. Day two was 9.5 miles, and the total distance of our two-day hike was 20.5 miles. Photos taken during this hike will be posted on my Instagram account shortly after this podcast is published. My Instagram name is Goosahiking. That's GOOSEAHIKIN. The Roanoke Area Trail Club, which maintains the trail in this area, considers this to be a strenuous hike, so it's definitely not for everyone. But we had a great time on this hike. Any day hiking is a good day for me, especially a two-day hike on the Appalachian Trail. A final thought. Enjoying the great outdoors is exciting and fun, but don't engage in strenuous physical activities that are beyond your capabilities or your physical condition. Make sure you know what wildlife you may encounter on your journey so you can be prepared. Also, make sure that you carry an emergency medical kit, water, and a map, and always stay on the trail.